No Simple Road is stoked to have Sunset Lake CBD back with us as our sponsor. Sunset Lake is the real deal. If you've looked around trying to find CBD and it just didn't do what it was supposed to do, this is the place you need to go. They've got every kind of product you can imagine, including CBD tinctures with sleep gummies that are great for getting to bed, CBD gummy bears and reishi-infused chews that can help bring you a little bit of calm in a stressful day. They've got salve, they've got smokable hemp flower that's great for folks like me that don't want to get stoned and paranoid but want to have the benefits of cannabis. Well, now you got it. And they even carry CBD products for your pets, man. I'm saying this is Darwin approved stuff. Go over to sunsetlakecbd.com and check out the full range of what they have. This is Vermont grown right to your door, and they're giving you 20% off. So put in the promo code NSR20 when you're checking out. You're going to get 20% off your whole order. And I know you're going to love it. They even have subscription options open for you, so you don't forget to get your medicine. Go check out Sunset Lake CBD, everybody.
Why can't every day be like this? No Simple Road. Yeah, no, I've been on that road too.
Mario Brothers was your shit?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. I remember staying up, my eyes burning. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like, do you remember a long time ago our friend Tom made that picture of the guy with the stick opening up his eye?
Yep.
It was like that, like just like eyes were burning, so tired, but wanted to save the princess. And you're almost there and you're trying to beat it and you die and go back again. And like, it was amazing, and we did it. We beat the princess at like 4 a.m.
I have never in my life saved the princess in Mario.
Yeah, we didn't beat the princess. I didn't mean to say that.
We beat the princess.
We didn't beat her. We saved her.
Don't beat the princess. You can save her. It's not politically correct anymore. Hey, now, No Simple Road family.
Anymore.
This is Aaron. Yeah, it used to be.
It's Mel.
Yeah.
And this is Mario. This is Apple.
And I am Luigi.
No, and Darwin.
I think Mario holds a special place for just about everybody.
Yeah, this is true. Including who this episode is brought to you by, the Edible Beats out of Denver, Colorado. If you don't know who the Edible Beats are, you should go online and check out all of the amazing restaurants that are covered under the Edible Beats umbrella in Denver. They, their food is some next level stuff. If you were to take fish at the Sphere and turn it into food, it would be the Edible Beats. Right?
Yeah.
Am I right or wrong?
That's the closest I could think of anything.
When we had the pleasure of being at Ophelia's, that was my first introduction to hot honey on pizza. And that is one of the best things in the world.
That was a life-changing
thing. Listen to this.
What?
We're renegades of flavors and masters of remix.
See?
Known for responsibly grown and sourced, innovatively simple, veggie-forward fare.
Yeah.
I love that.
All of them that run the place are the kindest, most wonderful, creative, innovative, and caring human beings I have ever met, and it is a huge honor for No Simple Road to be presented by something and someone like the Edible Beats and Justin Cucci. And we want to say a huge thank you to them for your continued partnership with No Simple Road. And for everybody out there, if you go to Denver to go to Red Rocks or go to Dick's or whatever, go check out one of their restaurants, Linger, L5, Root Down. Go to Ophelia's Electric Soapbox and see a show. It's worth your moment.
It's definitely worth
your dollar.
It's worth your dollar. It's worth your moment. It's worth your eye candy. It's worth all of it.
It is a dining experience.
You're a dining experience.
I am.
Yeah. Hey, how's everybody doing today? Mel, how you feeling?
I'm feeling back to normal.
Finally.
I mean, no, I think I was back to normal last week, but I feel like even more back to normal. I guess last week was like oh, I'm great. I'm out of the woods of the sphere. I'm out of the Vegas sphere and back at home and doing my thing. But then like today I'm like, no, this is what Mel feels like. This is how I'm supposed to be.
How you doing, Apple?
I'm pretty good. I'm still acclimating, but I
you sound a little snotty.
It's allergy season everywhere. And, when I go back to Vegas, it just reminds me of how important it was for me to move away from there because I am like allergic to sagebrush, mugwort,
everything Vegas is made of,
which is in Vegas and Nevada.
I don't even know what that is, but right on.
When I first found that out, I was like, that sounds like something from Harry Potter. I'm allergic to mugwort.
It is something from Harry Potter.
So it
messed you up.
Yeah, it messed me up, and I'm almost back to normal. My sinuses, everything are still kind of acclimating back to the moisture up here, which I love. I forgot how dry it is there, too. It was like lotion emergency, like every moment.
Wait a minute. Hold the phone. Nobody out there knows what a lotion emergency is.
I bet we have talked about lotion emergencies, but without anybody talking about it, if we just say a lotion emergency, I think most people would know what's up.
When also you are so dry that it like hurt.
You
like,
can't like, do anything
else. I
can't
even focus on anything until I get lotion.
Lotion emergency. You people are so weird.
You've had lotion emergencies.
Yes,
you've had them. Not many, but you've had them.
Recently. Mm-hmm. Remember you saying that. I forgot what it was, but you're like, I can't do anything else till I get some lotion. And Mel went and hooked you up. And you were like, oh, yes. It's real.
True. Hydration is necessary in and out of the body.
This is true. Yep. Hydrate and safety third.
How are you feeling, babe? You speedballed right past yourself.
I'm good. No, I feel normal again, but my normal is different than my old normal now, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I went to the sphere too, so I know what that means.
My normal has changed.
Normalmente.
Yeah, from before, now it's different. And
what does that mean?
It's hard to articulate, though. It really is.
Well, you're a man of words. Use them.
Cool, fun,
ew.
Awesome. No. Whatever the fuck happened at the sphere, it's not going away. Like,
well, in fact, you signed up.
Is it like a rash?
Yeah.
you already signed up for another visit.
I know.
Well, okay.
Aaron loves Vegas so much.
For all of you that
I will never go to Vegas for anything. And then they built the sphere just to get Aaron to come back to Vegas.
For all of you that listen to No Simple Road and you've heard
regularly.
My take on Dead and Company in the past year and a half. You know where I stand on all that. I'm not going to get into the whole thing here and be like that, but it was such a transformative, incredible experience seeing Fish at the Sphere that I am going back for one night of Dead and Company in
a couple weeks,
in 13 days. I have to say that it wouldn't be happening without Connor.
Connor's
always stepping it up.
He called like last week and was like, hey, Aaron, I just want you. First he texted me, or no, he called and I was sleeping. And then I woke up in the morning and there was a text on my phone and the text said, I have a proposition for you that you're not going to want to say no to. And I was like, okay. So I called him and he was like, hey man, you hooked me up with that Sunday ticket, face value ticket to Fish. That was basically a miracle. And I want to return the favor to you. Let's go for one night to see Dead and Company and I'll pay for your flight and your hotel room. And I told Mel, like, normal Aaron, old normal Aaron would have
pre-sphere
normal Aaron would have been like, no, man, you know what? That's really sweet of you, but I can't let you do that. Like, but I was just like, you know what? Okay. I'm going to allow the blessing that you want to give me, man. And let's fucking go. And so that, if that doesn't convey to those of you that know me, how impactful the weekend of Fish at the Sphere was, that I'm going back to see Dead and Company in 13 days.
It's one of the first things you said to me when I arrived in Vegas for fish on Sunday. Within 5 minutes of being in the hotel, you're like, it is so amazing. I want to come back and see Dead and Company to see what they do.
I
want to
see what they do, man. I Grateful Dead music in that space has the potential for some incredibly potent magic.
Yeah, I still want to, I'm still very open, maybe possibly trying to go for one day in June, sometime before it's over. It was just too quick turnaround. We were all trying to get it to where No Simple Road was going back for.
I didn't want to do that.
2 weeks from
Mel's
now,
not feeling it.
But it was too quick turnaround financially and work wise and stuff.
And I think, I hope I'm not speaking out of school here, but I think Venue Llama, Jordan, is going to have a booth at Fan Art, and I'm going to go give him a hand and hang out and do fan art and do the thing. I mean, look, like I said, Grateful Dead music in that space has the potential for some really intense experience to go down. I'm so curious to see what happens. I don't know, how far are we out from 2 weeks or 2 and 3 weeks now from Vegas when we were there?
Two weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks today was the Sunday show.
Okay. Well, it's been 2 weeks, and I was talking to Mel last night, and I was like, you know, typically when we go, like, to a festival or we go to Fish Dicks or Mexico, whatever, a couple of weeks after, like, whatever experience you had there is kind of fading.
You're back into your life.
You're in your groove. You're back to work.
You filed it away.
Yeah, you're like, oh, that was fun, and off to the races doing your thing. I really do not feel like that about what just happened 2 weeks ago. It is still as fresh in my head and my body and everywhere, like, as it was when it happened.
Yeah.
It's not fading away. And I feel like, I mean, this sounds so fucking cheesy, but who gives a shit? I feel different from
that?
It.
Why is that
that's
cheesy?
Not cheesy. We just all feel different. Everybody that was there says the same thing.
Yeah, that's not cheesy. That's factual.
And that's why I'm kind of a FOMO that you're going and stuff, but it's going to be cool to hear your experience, because the one of the main things about the Sphere to me was the sound. The sound in there, every seat has a subwoofer under it. The way the sound is in there, it's going to be amazing. What
we had
they
a
do
totally
the sound.
Different sound experience than you did, because we didn't feel any of that subwoofer
stuff. Okay, that's
stuff.
True, because you were down on
so
floor.
So we didn't, that is a whole other experience that we didn't get. We didn't get that, but then you didn't feel, you know what I mean? Like, depending on where you were, you truly didn't get the same experience.
Right.
That's true. Okay. Well, like the people we knew that sat up in the uppers and the 200, 300, 400s could hardly see the band. Like Fish, the band was kind of just lost down there at the bottom.
The band didn't matter once it started.
No. Everybody kind of had a different experience depending on where you're at.
Even down on the floor. I'll say I beg to differ. I'm not a floor person. I don't like to be squished. I don't care about, but there was something about seeing Trey doing that that I didn't think was a big deal until I was there seeing it. I wouldn't usually care, like, in going to Dick's or even Mexico or whatever.
Yeah, we've gotten first entry and moved back.
Yeah, so I, like, that never mattered to me, but for some reason, seeing him and Paige and Mike and just everybody up there, like I can see them and see what they're wearing and see their sweating and their movements. It made an impact on me, it impacted me differently than this, any other fish.
Well, you
got to
see them unlike
show.
Anybody's ever seen them at the Sphere, their reactions that the people have now seen that even weren't there,
well,
seeing,
like,
the pictures of
certain
the smiles
times,
and them looking
yes,
at what they created.
There's a post on our Instagram. It's the last post of the Sphere stuff on our Instagram. If you go look at it, and it's a close-up of Trey and Mike reacting to the Sphere. Like, both of them playing and, like, looking up at the thing.
Wow, mouth so
how distracting. Was, you know what I mean?
Why are you distracting yourself from what you were doing?
You know, I just had a thought though. Lots of people that listen to the show didn't go to Phish and are going to Dead & Company. And we did a No Before You Go episode prior to the Phish run. Mm-hmm. But now the three of us have had the opportunity to actually go to the Sphere and so,
yeah, because nobody knew about entry and where to go and all that.
So why don't we talk a little bit about the experience of going there for the people that are going to Dead & Company and haven't been to Phish and didn't go to Phish. Like
a few things that we experienced.
Yeah. So like as far
as first of all, this first weekend is going to be crazy in Vegas because it's got the races, the formula, whatever races. So that's going to be bananas in its own right. Cause when Vegas is busy for something big like that, you know, whatever the occasion is, big, huge convention, that adds its own energetic element to Vegas. And then now you're adding Grateful Dead or Dead & Company in there with that kind of crowd. That's a lot of energy.
Formula One racing brings people from all over the world. It is a very
eclectic,
rich person's spectator sport. To go
really
see it.
Formula One,
yeah, very expensive.
You were talking about the other day, like just the cheap seats are $1,000 or something.
Yeah, grandstands where you see them go by at 200 miles for a set. I mean, those are like $1,000 and more. There's little boxes everywhere, $12,000 up to $35,000 up to $40,000 for tickets and booths and different places. Formula One is a very expensive sport.
Bougie sport.
Yeah.
All right. So that element is going
to
be there.
So just get ready for that, because first of all, maybe somebody hasn't gone to Vegas or hasn't been to Vegas in a while. You mentioned this, Aaron. You're like, oh my God, it's so hectic here. There's so much energy. Yeah, that's Vegas.
I forgot about that.
Vegas is nonstop. All the time.
On.
You go out at 3 a.m, it's the same energy as 2 p.m.
That's true. There's people just starting their day at 4 a.m.
You add whatever else you add to that. You know, fan art, you at lunch, you know, meeting your friends, going to the pool, everything is lit 24/7 all the time.
Yeah.
So it's really easy to get overwhelmed.
If you're a empathic person, if you're susceptible to being overwhelmed by other people's ish, Vegas is gnarly. Like when it comes to that, you have to know how to put up your force field there.
Put up your spiritual dukes.
Yeah. You don't got to fight nobody, but you need
you
to be
sometimes
able to,
do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. You got to fight off some energy.
You do. There's a lot of people that are wanting, remember this. You're going somewhere where other people live. And so they're not tourists. You're a huge spotlight for people, especially people that are doing wrong.
Well,
I'm not kidding. Like, this is a real thing. And so people that are pickpocketers or
grifters,
workers all of that stuff, just know that that's a thing there. You don't have to do anything else about it. Just be aware of it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it's a trip, and I think I said this on the Phish recap, but when I left Vegas, I had a very poor idea of Vegas. I had a very poor attitude towards it. I just fucked that place. And when we left there, I don't want to ever go there again. And the only reason I'll go back is to see shows and that's it. But this last trip down there really did make me appreciate what Vegas allows the visitor to do.
What Vegas is.
Yeah. It's created for
entertainment.
Yeah. And it's all hospitality. And it's there were moments late in the evening after the shows when I was out of my head. And, you can't smoke in the room, and I smoke. So I wanted to go down into the casino. And my what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I'm used to being worried about that. Like, oh my God, security is going to bust us because
they're going
to
be looking at us.
But whatever. Dude, nobody cares.
No, you walk down to a casino, people are doing the same thing.
Yep, yep. And so, you know that you're safe as long as you're not like being belligerent or hurting anybody or making a nuisance of yourself. If you're chill, you could be pretty out of your head and nobody's going to give you a hard time.
If you're staying at the Venetian for any of, for this run, you're stoked.
You're so lucky.
You're stoked because the Venetian has made it so easy for you to go from their hotel directly into the Sphere.
Getting back is a whole other can of worms.
Yeah, the sphere directs you in a different way. Yeah,
they don't let you return inside.
Mm-hmm. But that is like gold to be able to just walk through the casino and then walk through the walkway and then end up, you know, either going to the left or right for you to enter the Sphere.
So for all of you going Friday or whenever, my advice would be when you're getting ready to go to the Sphere for Showtime, and if you're at a different hotel or whatever, go in through the Venetian.
Or the Wynn. The Wynn's another one because it's right across the street and they have a bridge.
Right, but go in through the Venetian if you can, and then just follow the signs inside the Venetian that say Sphere. You don't ever have to walk outside. It takes you through a hallway, and it really does feel like you're on your way to Space Mountain.
Yes.
Or like some wild fucking ride that you've never been on before. And it's a really cool experience for your first time going into the Sphere to go in that way.
Well, remember, if you're on the floor, you will have to go outside.
Right.
They direct you out. So you'll be going through this walkway, and depending on where you sit, you either stay in that hallway and continue, or you have to exit out and walk down out of the building into the Sphere building.
Right. Either way, go through the Venetian, follow the signs that say Sphere. If you're on the floor, like Mel said, you'll be directed outside and through one of the entrances. But if you're not, if you're in the 200s, 100s, 300s, or 400s, you can just continue on while you're inside, and it takes you through that atrium.
Yeah.
Did you see the atrium, Apple?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, we walked through the atrium. Like you said, it's like entering a spaceship or Space Mountain or something. Like you feel the environment change. And then when you get in line to
what do you mean by that?
It like that hallway, it just kind of starts getting smaller and smaller, and then it spits you out into the atrium, which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way it's all lit, like the blue, it's very spacey feeling. It feels like you're like going down a corridor, getting ready to get on a spaceship is what it felt like. And my experience there, you know, the security and everything was so amazing, so easy. It was effortless almost getting in to there. And the staff was very, same thing with all the staff we experienced everywhere while we were in Vegas. The hospitality was great. The one thing to me that stands out the most is I was kind of worried about, it was hot outside in Vegas, but we were inside and everything, and I was completely comfortable the entire time wearing my Birkenstocks. For all of you people like to wear Birkenstocks.
Really?
I'm glad I wore them. I'm glad. I was worried that I was going to need tennis shoes because of the steepness and steps and this and that. None of that ever came into play. I was so comfortable in my Birkenstocks and glad I wore them.
Okay. Dope. I wore shoes every night because we were down on the floor.
Yeah. I asked you guys about it. Yeah, and then you were like,
on the floor, you don't necessarily want to wear Birkenstocks, but maybe you do.
To me, it's a comfort thing, and it was just so comfortable.
Yeah, and the whole like what to wear, shorts or pants, like it doesn't matter. It's the climate inside that place is so heavily controlled. You're going to be comfortable.
Yeah,
the climate suits your clothes.
It does. It well done, Mel. It absolutely does.
I'll say this, when you're in Vegas, if you're going to be there, say you've got multiple days or whatever, remember Vegas, you have to pay for everything.
Yeah.
Go before you get to your hotel room and get yourself some water and maybe something to keep it in, because if you even touch the fridge, depending on what hotel you're in, it's upwards up to $75-$100 a night
just to put your stuff in.
They also have these weighted
sensors
with food on them, or, you know, things. And if you touch those, they are charge you like triple what the thing costs. So just be aware of stuff like that. Take care of yourself, because, you know, you're probably might be doing some, you know, stuff, tripping or whatever you're going to do, and you're going to need some water or and some provisions. So I would just, before you get to the strip, you know, before you get, do something like that, hook yourself up, because we spent so much money on water.
Because, and Gatorade.
And Gatorade, because we just couldn't.
And ginger ale.
Yeah, well, we just drinks, period. Just drinks, period. Because, you know, unless you want to spend $9 each time to get a water, hook yourself up.
Yeah.
Well, inside the sphere, it was $10 for water that comes in like the metal can. They take the cap from you. There are water fill. They're like drinking fountain water fill stations.
It's not good. It's not the best water.
No. Vegas water is very treated, but it's economical. And I think everybody's used to that. Be prepared. Me and Connor each got a beer. We got one beer, like a tall can, was $14 or $15.
Okay. I mean, that's typical at sports venues.
But I only mention it for the water aspect, because like it's hot. It's going to get hotter and you're in Vegas. And like I said, you know, doing whatever. So like just for yourself, because I just feel like we should have done that before. Like we had opportunities to, we just didn't think to do that.
Yeah. And so entering the venue, I can tell you for the floor, security was really cool. I basically just took everything that was metal out of my pockets and walked through a metal detector and took my hat off. And then they gave me my stuff back and we went on our merry way. Was it the same for you, Apple?
Yeah. Oh yeah. The things I brought, I just had in my pocket things for, mm-hmm. during the show.
Right.
Gotcha. Never took out of my pocket. They just quickly, you walk through the thing and they're like, you're good.
I know that the Grateful Dead community isn't really known for wearing capes too much as much as fish. There's many cape folk, but if you were planning on wearing a cape to the sphere, don't do it. There is a no cape policy, and I'm not joking.
When you first said that, I thought it was a joke, but then it kind of makes sense. Like it could catch on thing. Like when you're in those steeper seats and stuff, you don't want clothing that's going to catch on something. I think that would be one of the main reasons is safety. That can snag on stuff and you could trip on it.
There is a service in Vegas called Tanks Express. If you live in Denver or I'm not sure if they do it in California, but Nevada has Tanks Express. You can hit them up and have a tank delivered to your room. After the show, leaving the sphere, they shuttle you out pretty quick. There's not a lot of
lingering.
No, there's not a lot of linger time.
Maybe 20 minutes of lingering at best.
If that.
Yeah, and they let you take in the sphere from the outside and then it's like, keep it moving.
Yep.
Keep it moving.
And so they shuttle you onto Sands Avenue, which is the street that the sphere is on. And it was fucking hectic. It's a scene out there and different kind of a scene than you're used to in Lot after a show. It's like you're all on the sidewalk of a major city with traffic going by and Vegas right there and the energy of Vegas. And if you've been blown open, if your head's been blown open and your face is melted still from the show, which it will be, It's a trippy fear and loathing moment to walk out there after the show and just buckle up, kids, because that part of the thing is trip the fuck out.
And then that was brought up a lot, the fear and loathing feeling, because like the tile patterns, the carpet patterns, everything in the hotels leans very much towards a psychedelic experience. And then when you're having one and go, coming back in the casino, it's like lizard people.
Oh, totally.
Like everything kind of changes and it's a whole new perspective on what's going on.
Well, the feeling I had walking through the casino after the fish shows was Vegas is already an asylum. Like it's a fucking nut house. But the lunatics had taken over the asylum after the show.
Yeah.
It was just like.
But also not really, because you get spit back into the casino and it's popping already.
That's what
and
I mean.
And so it was like, no, nothing ever happened. Like, you're all crazy, but and you think you are, but you look around and it's normal.
I was like dancing through the casino on the last night. Nobody was even batting an eye.
Yeah.
Nobody gave a shit.
You think you're all special with your crazy outfit and your colored hair and everybody else is doing the same thing.
And then you look over and you see all the 15 women there for a bachelorette party.
Exactly.
You see the dudes for the party. You see the hip hop crew. You see everybody's there having a great time.
Yeah.
And it is conducive to that. It is. Mm-hmm. That's what Vegas is.
So before we went on the fish run and we did the pre-sphere fish thing, we were like, ooh, I'd like to see a divided sky, and I'd like to see steam and
steam.
I'd like this, that, whatever. If you were going, or when you go to see Dead and Company Apple, what songs would you like to see? Now knowing what the sphere is, what do you think you would like to see Dead and Company play in there?
That's a tie. Well, I mean, for me, I always, the Scarlet Fire is just one of my favorites ever. I'd love to see them do that. And thing I'm looking the most forward to is seeing what they do with the sound and the visuals for drums and space.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty much, like you were telling me that at first, and after seeing Fish the one day, it doesn't matter, because it's a whole new form of artistic expression. Like, I love everything in the Dead catalog, but you know, it used to be like, I don't want to hear John do another Althea and stuff. It's going to be totally different. It's going to be totally different, totally new.
But the way I'm thinking about it is like, if I was in charge of like creating the graphics for Dead and Company one song, right? For me, what were you?
I was gonna say, I think it's Shakedown Street, the Grateful Dead movie, where it's going down, where he's on the motorcycle, and everything's coming by. They have a lot of history of graphics, illustrations, all kinds of stuff to play off of and build on. And
I think for my money, I want to see Dark Star in there.
Yeah.
I want to see a like 25 minute super out there Dark Star
and see what Dark Star does
with some graphics to take you to Dark Star.
Yeah.
What about you, Mel?
I don't have an opinion.
No?
No.
None.
Zero.
Wow.
It doesn't matter. In that venue, anything.
Well, we're just talking. We're just.
Well, yeah, but I don't.
She doesn't want to say cats down under the stars.
That's her favorite.
I didn't want to talk about that one. Yeah. Now that I know what it is, it's not even fun to play like that, because it truly doesn't matter. They could play my least favorite song and it would probably fucking be
Blood.
Revolutionary. And like, what? Like, so it like. I mean, I like playing games, but this one, it doesn't matter to me, because anything that they do with the money that they've got, with the experience that they've got, with, like you said, visuals from 50 plus years, it's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that like Fish had the Moment Factory was the company that was in charge of creating all of that art that we saw over the 4 days.
Yeah.
Have either of you heard who's doing any of that for Dead and Company?
I haven't
really looked into it or anything.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything like that either.
Well, I think the other thing too, like we keep saying with Fish and stuff, is this is going to be a whole new thing. This is a whole new thing for the band. It's going to blow their doors off seeing.
Yeah, like probably
the
like by the maybe even the end of this first week, going into that second week, they're probably going to be so stoked because now they've done it and they get to do it
again.
Like maybe not correct anything, but like do
fine
it.
Fine tune.
Yeah, fine tune it and like try to play with this. And, you know, it's like when you're at a spelling bee, you're just going to try to remember everything that you're supposed to. You're not thinking of anything else. But like, once you know what how to spell the word, you can have another thought or another, you know, look at something that can distract you and you're going to be fine. So like when they're playing their first shows, you kind of have to be on it. But then you've played your first shows now and you're going to keep playing. So it's going to evolve even into something cooler. I bet the sixth week is going to probably be better than that first week.
Oh, yeah. 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 I could see that because then it's locked in and you know how to run the thing. You know, something that we didn't talk about in the pre or post fish thing that we did, because we couldn't, we hadn't had the experience yet, is it, and this is just like for all the folks that didn't go, are headed to Dead & Company, going to the Sphere for the first time. I've been to a lot. We've all been to a lot of shows. I would say that like the vast majority of us are pretty well seasoned psychedelic veterans. We know how to handle our shit and you know, we're professionals when it comes to that stuff. I was fucking shaken to the core of who I am on that first night at Fish. It was not in a bad way and not scary or like nothing like that, but just what was going down and the new form that the trip was taking was something brand new after 30 plus years of seeing shows. And it took some time to adjust to the atmosphere of what was going down. It took the first set for me to like find my legs, so to speak, and to get my shit together. And I don't think that that was unique to me. You, Mel?
No, you kind of have to like process what's even happening. So, and you can't process it while it's happening. You can only feel it while it's happening. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, set break night one, it's like, oh my, like you don't even know what to say, basically.
Wasn't that the night that you and I were like under the shemagh together, just quiet?
I think that was night two, but even still, it was the second day in. Like it's hard to explain because also you're having body feelings and, you know, that have nothing to do with any of the, you know, if you chose to drink that night or if you chose to do any kind of psychedelics or if you chose to stay sober, you were not getting out unscathed with your, like, your senses or overloaded. Like, you know, it's like you're getting a kiss and a hug and the dog's licking your ear and, like, you know, there's like sensations that you can't really process. It's hard to talk about because you are in it. And so, yeah, it was hard for me to kind of like
acclimate
and figure out what to say any at all. And like this greatest thing just happened, but like also what was it that happened? Why was it great? Like, can you explain to me what was so great about it?
Not
like,
kind
of, but not really. Like,
more later.
It did something to my body and my head, and then it was kind of familiar but new. And I still don't have words for the new feelings that I felt there, and I just can't. I can't record that yet.
What about you, Apple? Did it take you a minute to get your shit together?
Mel just said what I was going to say. It's sensory overload. It comes at you on a level that what is being presented to you, nobody has ever experienced before.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else like this in the world other than the one, I guess, they built in London.
There's another one? So,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's another Sphere. This was the second one. This is the second one to open. But it's... You're just not prepared for it. From the moment I walked into our seats and we were in the 100 section, we were like section 103, row 28. So we were in the obstructed view.
Partially
obstructed. Basically kind of like what we saw was a Cinemax experience. We saw a huge screen in front of us. You had to, which I did like twice during it, walked out to look up and see what's going on. And when you're down there, it feels like you're outdoors. Before the show started, they just had the slowly changing colored screen, and it seems like you're outdoors.
It feels like
it is such a trip. Like that building is on its own with nothing happening, no music playing, is sensory overload.
Yep.
It's like what you're looking around, taking in all the different seats, how high up everybody is, up in like the threes and fours.
It's massive.
It's gigantic when you look at it. Like the platform that the band is on is so tiny compared to of the sphere. So like taking all that in, and then when the music starts, it takes a little while to get used to how perfect and all hearing the sound. It's like being inside of the most awesome headphones you could ever buy. You're inside of it
with the dopest mix ever.
Yeah, it's coming at all angles and going around you and from the ground, and it's everywhere. The sound is everywhere. So yeah, it's very sensory overload.
It's disorienting,
and it's hard to, you know, we're talking on and on about it, but it's just something that everybody will end up, you know, everybody will get their turn to go to the sphere. And it's just like we always talk about going into stuff, like I just like that. Don't go with any expectations, because or go with a ton of expectations, and it's going to exceed them. And it's going to it's something we don't know until you've been there.
Apple, how was the like security as far as you coming out from your seat and walking down and during the show? Were they giving anybody shit for dancing in the aisles and stuff?
No, there wasn't too many people hanging out in the aisles. That kind of seemed self-policing. Everybody kind of was staying in their seats, but no issues at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to mention too that this this is like a group like it's going to bring you together. Whoever you're around, you know, you're seeing this for the first time, and it's going to bring you together. So I just wanted to throw that in there to remember that, because it allowed Aaron and I to meet at least 50 to 75 brand new people that we'd never met before in our whole life, and then exchange numbers and take pictures with. And yeah, that's kind of like the festival and concert scene in itself. You meet new people, but this, because you're sharing something so unique, it really brings you together in a certain kind of a way that makes what you're seeing and that feeling like a package together. Like it's, you can't remember the sphere without remembering those feelings, you know?
You just went in, I kind of look at it, it's like you just got loaded in. I keep thinking of it and always will. The sphere is like a spaceship. All load it. You go somewhere, you go on a journey unlike any other concert experience, and then you return to Earth, and then you're let back out.
That was something that I want to talk about a little bit too. We haven't covered yet about any of this. And not to fuck over any of the late night stuff that's happening in Vegas. I know people love to go to afters, and I get it. But when the show ended on the first night, I was like, I don't understand how anybody is going to see anything after being in here tonight.
And it's, a lot of people love, they still were fired up.
Yeah.
You know, because it does fire you up, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So you're like excited, and some people want to keep that excitement going, and other people want to stay in that same.
I was so disoriented and shaken when it ended. I was like, I couldn't possibly go do concert somewhere.
I would equate this to the two things you just described as to like a kid that went to Disneyland for the first time ever, and then you have to leave. There's the kid that's all hyper and
rides.
Wants to continue, that'll go out and, you know, ride the swings at the hotel or whatever and just keep going. Or there's the one that had like way too much cotton candy and
passes
like
out on the way home.
Yeah,
in the car.
Got like the overloading, and it's just like, I just want to get back to my room, be with my people.
Yeah, that's where I was at. I just want to go back to the room and be with my people and fucking talk about what the hell just happened, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that kind of covers like getting in there and getting out of there. And what it's like in there.
One more thing for the people, because I didn't have a room at the Venetian, but Aaron Amell's room, if you were staying at the Venetian, to say again what they said, you were set. Because those rooms, way those rooms are built.
Well, that was a suite, yeah.
Yeah, it was one of the suites, which is part of the packages of all the... We were in there with so many people.
There was probably 30 people in the room.
With music blasting on the Bluetooth.
A tank.
Nobody was trying to be quiet. And nobody was making one effort to be quiet. No. And you couldn't, there was one point we went back down, went downstairs to have a cigarette and came back up and you're getting ready to open. I was like, no, don't open the door.
Oh, trying to listen to
I was like, you could not hear I had to be about 6 inches from the door to even tell that anybody was awake doing anything
Vegas
in there.
Vegas be soundproof and shit.
Yeah, man. And we were down the hallways where you're walking past all these rooms that were probably the same scene. It was almost all Fish fans in the hotel and you didn't hear shit.
You know,
So party on, Wayne.
Yeah, do your thing, man. Just be respectful. On Saturday, I know Jordan from Venue Llama and Fire on the Mountain is getting a booth, and Connor and I are coming in to Vegas Saturday morning. So if you're gonna be in Vegas on Saturday, come by the Venue Llama booth and say hi and get yourself a No Simple Road sticker and. Take a picture.
I'm also looking forward to hear what you guys have to say. That sounds very interesting. It sounds like this huge exhibit that they're doing, the Dead Forever exhibit it's a big chunk of the convention center, mm-hmm. kind of that's connected.
Like where we went down to get our stuff, Aaron.
On the way to the Sphere. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That should be very interesting to see what they're doing with that.
And it's cool. That's free.
Oh, it's free?
Yeah. You can go to Dead Forever for free and go check out I guess there's going to be merch and like historical Grateful Dead stuff is going to be in there. And it should be really, really cool to see that. But what I was going to say is the fan art thing inside the Brooklyn Bowl on Saturday, it was really, really dope. It was like a curated shakedown scene and everybody was just kind of hanging out and there's a porch where you can go smoke and they've got really good food and drinks and it's really, really cool. So if you're going to be there.
Brooklyn Bowl is dope.
Yeah.
Vegas. And I want to shout out our sister, Beadwork by Jenny. She's going to be in Vegas May 23rd.
Yep, on the 23rd.
And she's going to be at Jammin' On Vegas from 3 to 6 doing her Speaking in Beads summer book tour. And then I believe she's going to the show after that. So if you want to catch her or buy one of her books or just see what she's up to, that's going to be Jammin' On Vegas 3 to 6, May 23rd.
If you want to eat the best brisket you've ever had in your whole life, including your grandma's, Ms. Known inside the Venetian, I think. It's either the Palazzo or the Venetian. Go there. They have a thing called candy steak and it's brisket in a pita with other stuff. And I only had one bite, but that one bite was so impactful that, I'm telling you about it now 2 weeks later. And, I'm going to get one while I'm there for 24 hours. It's
Uber turned to the brisket spot.
Dude, it's so fucking good. Oh my God.
I said, there's a lot of good food in Vegas.
So what else? Security. What am I missing, guys?
It's pretty extensive.
We've laid out quite a lot. I mean, one thing I would stress again the most is get prepared before you go check in your room. Go by CVS, Walgreens, somewhere off the strip.
Oh.
To get yourself set up.
Unless you're balling out of control and don't care.
Yeah.
That's
unless
different.
You don't care.
You can use the trash can. Here's a pro tip. You can use the trash can in your room as an ice bucket.
Well, don't tell that to everybody because some trash cans aren't the same. They are not created equal. Venetian happened to have a double lined trash can. One of them leaked. The other one didn't.
Yeah.
And so you have to, you just be careful.
We used it as a cooler. Needs. Yeah. Because God forbid you open that fridge, man. I'm still like, I can't wait to see Instagram after Dead & Company does one show.
Oh yeah. And then they're playing 8 weekends.
Right.
It's gonna there's a lot of people. I think this is kind of cool. What was that? 8 weekends times 3.
I thought they were playing 5 days.
I don't know. It's a lot of dates.
They have a lot of dates.
Is it more? Okay. I know they had
over 29.
Okay. Because it started with Friday, Saturday, Sunday runs, and maybe they've added to it. But this has given opportunity. I mean, 17,500 people
times 29.
Yeah.
That's
cool. Are going to get a chance to experience something amazing.
And okay, the other so these are the dates. May 16, 17, 18, 24, 25, 26, 30, and 31. And then I didn't know they had July dates.
Yeah.
Okay, so then June 1st, 6th, 7th, 8th, 13, 14, 15, 20, 21, and 22. And then July 4th, 5th, 6th, 11th, 12th, and 13th.
That's 24.
Yeah. So there you go.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
By the end of that, they're going to have that place fucking levitating.
Yeah. Sure. And then the coolest thing, too, is just going to see what continues to happen with the Sphere. I'm sure there's so many bands out there that would like to have a chance at it, but it takes, you know.
It takes a lot of money
to create the
visuals for that.
A big band, well-known.
It's just a trip to me that, like, all these years have gone by. We've all, and I'm talking to you guys out there that are listening to the show, we've all gone to concerts, and we've had mind-blowing experiences and, you know, the thing. And that it can still be brand new. And, like, that to me is one of the most astounding parts. And also, like, we haven't even talked about all the magic that's happening since going there. Like, we had friends come back with us from Vegas that are not from here, from the East Coast.
Yeah.
And they had incredibly profound experiences here in Portland, meeting our extended family.
Well, I think that's not the Sphere. I think that's No Simple Road.
But that's carrying on after that.
But I'm just saying, like, not everybody's experiencing.
That was already happening, but the Sphere definitely didn't hurt.
No, it definitely did not hurt it at all. I just mean, like, maybe not everybody's having these profound after experiences.
The Sphere created.
Yeah. I
don't think I'm saying that that's 100% from that. I'm just saying, like,
because that's very specific.
Catching the wave of that thing and riding it and continuing to ride it. You know, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And, like, go ahead.
I was going to just throw something else in there, too, because one of my friends, Nick, who lives in Vegas, works for Yes Coast Sign Company that helped over many years as this was going on, building the Sphere, such a project. But he said, because we're experiencing the concert experience that they have right now and many more things planned. They have, it's like a documentary, kind of a Planet Earth type thing, movie that's playing there, which that take, what we experienced didn't use everything the Sphere has to offer.
Right.
This uses like you're in a field of lavender and they poof lavender smell. And like the dropping the temperature, it's like you go from a meadow, you know, you're in the poppy fields in you know, California or whatever. And then all of a sudden you go to the Arctic and they drop the temperature 15 degrees and you're sitting for this. So the speakers, the subwoofers, like, it is such a sensory experience. I want to experience so many things at the Sphere to see what they do with it. Cause what they created is,
it's very unique.
And it's just amazing.
We have a lot of really cool shit coming up too, man. You know, here in Portland, we have
Karen's 60th.
Yeah, she's turning 60, and we are emceeing a portion of the evening
with Bodhi Mojo,
with Bodhi
Family
Mojo,
Mystic.
Family Mystic, Rambler. And probably Madison True
at the Get Down,
and that's going to be a super fun event right before Mojo Family Fest.
Yep, tickets are available for that now, so I would suggest getting them sooner rather than later. You don't want to get shut out.
I believe they're like
that.
$15, so very affordable. Come out and hang.
It's
Come
a
on.
Thursday night.
If y'all are listening,
yeah, it's a Thursday night.
It's a Thursday.
Yeah,
night.
If y'all listened to No Simple Road, you know who Karen is. If you've been to any concert in Portland, you've bumped into her. She is a force to be reckoned with, a bright light, a dancing bright light, and she's turning 60 and she wants to celebrate her birthday with everybody. So, yeah, take that opportunity and come hang out with us and Karen and wish her a happy birthday.
On Saturday, May 25th, Rhythms Ground is hosting a soul collage workshop with the Grateful Death and our very own Kundalini mom from us.
So yeah, we're putting together Tiffany of Rhythms Ground, Crystal of the Grateful Death, Seattle, and me, Mel, No Simple Road. We, these three powerful women are putting together a really fun evening. And this is not a female centric evening. This is for everybody. And there's going to be some soul collaging. I'm going to bring my gong and do some breath work to kind of seal up the evening. We'll probably have some light refreshments. So
how do people get there?
So, you can come through No Simple Road, my Instagram, Kundalini Mom, through Rhythms Ground, or the Grateful Death.
They just shoot
Seattle.
You guys a DM.
Shoot us a DM and we will get you, hooked up to tickets and instructions on how to get there, all that stuff. You don't need to bring anything if you don't want. If you want to, you can, but, yeah, we'll send you all the things there.
And then on June 28th, 29th, and 30th, No Simple Road will be at Mojo Family Fest.
Woo!
Tickets are available now. You can go to BodhiMojo.com or you can go to @BodhiMojo on Instagram and click the link. And also, I will have a ticket link for that up on the No Simple Road website. And then let's see.
Yeah, this is the third year that No Simple Road is involved with Mojo Family Fest.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
This is year three for us.
Wow.
Yeah. So come on out.
And it's
hang
growing
out.
And it's fucking dope.
Yeah. We're going to plan something fun and new and creative this year. So
it's
come
a
do
great
it.
Great community.
July 25th through the 27th, the String Cheese Incident will be here in Portland. At Edgefield, and we will be there. So
you're going to skip over Fair?
No. Oh. I'm not doing that. Fair is
12th, 13th, 14th.
Holy shit. You know what? Oregon Country Fair is July 12th, 13th, and 14th. No Simple Road is going to be there. We are running the bookstore this year at Fair. We are also performing on Shea Ray on Sunday. I can announce this now. Cam Hurt is joining No Simple Road for our live podcast at Oregon Country Fair. And you can go get tickets at the fair's website, Oregon Country Fair. I think it's a .org. I'm not sure. Let me see. I'm sorry.
It's all right. We're doing this,
on the fly.
OregonCountryFair.org.
Okay, yep. OregonCountryFair.org. Get your tickets. And then if you need to know, like the public can't stay in the fair at night, if you're coming up for fair and you don't understand like where to stay, there's a link on the Oregon Country Fair website that says where to stay. And it gives you all the instructions for all the campgrounds that are around OCF that you can stay at and get to and from fair. And there's shuttles, the whole bit. And those campgrounds, When the public is escorted out of fair at 7 o'clock at night and everybody goes back to those campgrounds, there's a fucking party
it's
on.
Popping. It is
popping. Yeah, yeah. I'm talking fire twirlers and musicians and those. It's just as happening as what's going on in the fair. And then let's see. That leads us to Mondegreen and then to Dick's. So that's the rest of the year for us. Next,
for now, there will be more things sprinkled in.
Oh yeah, for sure. Next, we have some goose shows at Cuthbert and all that stuff. Damn it, I forgot what I was gonna say. Son of a gun. Oh well,
gee whiz,
I can't be in there. I don't know it.
I don't know what it was. It was important too. Oh well, that's gone. That's what happens.
Well, you didn't tell me what you're supposed to tell me afterwards.
Yeah, I don't know what that was either. I have something really important to tell Mel that happened today, and I can't remember what it was, everybody. So, shit happens. You can't remember everything.
Yeah, you'll remember when you don't think about it.
That's right.
You got to walk through that door and come back.
So, everybody going to see Dead & Company, listen, just buckle up, man. I mean it. I know there's those of you out there that are like, man, I've been to the fucking, I saw him dead. Trust me, you haven't done this. Okay? Just go with your fucking suit buttoned up.
Be ready to have fun.
Yeah. It's going to be an amazing experience, and I can't wait to hear from the Grateful Dead community on what they thought of
collectively. Is it the Grateful Dead community or is it the Dead & Company community?
I don't know.
Because this is Dead & Company now. Yeah. This is not the Grateful Dead.
Okay, from the Dead & Company.
But you know what I'm saying? Because the Grateful Dead community will be
That's
there.
That's why I just like to say the
But
dead.
This is the Dead & Company community. Do you understand what I mean by that? Like, that's how I there's like, some people
the deadhead community kind of encompasses it all.
Thank you, Apple. There you go, Apple.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank deadhead you. Community. Yeah. I can't wait to hear what y'all think because it's exciting. And I know that we've like over talked about the sphere, but it was a lot, man. And that should give you some indication as to how impactful this thing was. And I know a lot of you didn't go see Fish and you're going to see the Dead, and I want you to be prepared. That's all. It's going to be fun. You're going to have a blast. And knowing how to get in and out of somewhere is kind of cool before you get there. Knowing where to go eat before you go somewhere is kind of cool.
Also, you know, the one thing that most people think is annoying is pulling your phones out during a concert.
Oh, yeah.
It's not annoying there. For some reason at the Sphere, I think there's another self-policing thing. It's a new experience. So everybody wants to capture it on their phone, but also you don't want to keep your phone out because you want to feel it and distracts. Experience it. So,
you want to be
so
in the moment.
There's a good blend of both. And so just be prepared for that. Like feel free to do that. And, but know that you don't want to
for whatever reason inside the Sphere, like normally at a show, if I'm out of my head, it's very difficult to work my phone. But inside the Sphere, for whatever reason, I had no problem.
Me either. I
working
was like,
my phone.
I felt like.
I never took my, unusually, I never took my phone out of my pocket. Well, I had one night.
Yeah.
And I was so sensory overloaded, I never even went to grab my phone.
And I realized on the last night, I was taking a couple videos for like maybe 10 seconds, and it was like taking slices. I was like, slice. And then I just put my phone back in my pocket. Slice. It, like a little slice of time just went into my phone.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. And it was way, I don't know. I would love to hear if anybody else had like a merging with technology moment in there. Cause it really felt like, oh yeah, this is how you do this.
I felt like I could I can't do it when I'm sober and my phone. And like, I felt like I could like program anything. Remember, I was like grabbing other people's phones
and
typing. Yeah,
putting your number
in.
Yeah,
and adding pictures and like, it was amazing. I got smarter being in the Sphere.
It's a true merging of humans and technology.
A lot going on.
All right. Well, that was fun. Well, we'll be back on Friday with Chris Jacobs, everybody.
Ooh.
We have an amazing.
What about McNary? He's been sitting for.
Is Jeff next?
Yes.
Okay, I take that back.
We're teasing you. We can't. Well, we have Chris Jacobs coming up soon.
Yeah, Dr. Jeff McNary is this Friday, who is one of the head folks over at Rhythmia, which is a
wellness
psychedelic
wellness
center.
Center. Yeah,
in Costa Rica, ayahuasca spot that is fucking dope and doing really, really amazing work. And Dr. Jeff is just the realest of real. And we had a pretty mind-blowing conversation.
A great conversation. Yeah. It was
stoked
excellent
for y'all to hear that. So until then, take care of each other. Smile at a stranger. Safety third. Hydrate and get ready because it's getting ready to go down in Vegas town, y'all. And I'll see you there on the 18th. Come by Fan Art and say hi to Jordan from Venue Llama.
Where's Fan Art?
Is in
Brooklyn
the
Brooklyn
Bowl.
Bowl.
Brooklyn right. Bowl. Love y'all. Peace.
So resilient, or haven't you learned it? Still, my simple road. well as a fear. We've traveled this road before, so we may think, but it's a tad bit of strange similarities that feed an A equal A complex. The fears of your past do not equal the perplexities of the current road.
Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of 8 cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.